Good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. It is so good to see you all here. We hope you are happy to be here with us, and we just cherish your presence here today. Let us turn our hearts and minds to the Lord as we begin our time of worship this morning. Welcome again this morning, and we have just a few announcements to share about some of the wonderful ministries and opportunities that are happening here at West End United Methodist Church. This week we are participating, fulfilling our week of helping out with the Project Transformation Ministry. So this is our reading week on Monday through Thursday between 9 and 12 a.m. So if you would still like to sign up to be a reader at Project Transformation, please just see the insert in your bulletin for instructions on how you might participate in that ministry. Next Sunday is also the last Sunday to bring items for collection for Open Table Nashville Outreach Team to distribute to those living on the streets. And so you can also see your bulletin to see how you might donate items that are needed for that ministry as well. And then finally, tonight in our sanctuary here, we will have our Tazay service at 5 p.m. And so all are welcome to join us here again for that special evening of worship. And now, let us begin to worship the God who plants good seeds of gracious love in and among each of us. Let us praise God.
This house of the Lord.
Thank you. We are glad to be here this morning.
This is a time to offer our praise to God.
With joy, we thank God for all blessings evermore.
let us worship God who showers us with mercy.
Give praise to God who offers us rest and peace. Amen.
In Christ there is no condemnation, for perfect love casts out sin. Let us confess our sins to God. Lord, forgive us when we doubt our mercy and love. We are caught up in getting everything we want, and we want it all right now. We have trouble waiting and remembering. It is in waiting that we might hear your voice. It is difficult for us to believe we can be fruitful to absorb your words and works. We find excuses not to be attentive to you, but focus instead. Gracious and loving Lord is the essence of generosity and patience. Rest in and rely on God's love and forgiveness. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And if there are any other kids out there that want to join us up here or want to bring a friend with them, you are welcome to do that at this time. But this is my first chance to get to talk to you all, and I'm really excited about that. So, good morning. Now, if you saw me outside somewhere, and I looked like this, I was putting these things on, so I'll stick those on like that here. And then, after I got these on, if I can get it on there, it's kind of hard. And then I had this. What might I be doing? What was that? Planting seeds, that's right. Yes, if I was out like this, now you'd actually think I was crazy if I was out like this in a white robe planting seeds. That would be about the dumbest thing I could do because this thing would get filthy. But yes, if I had gloves like this and maybe some tools, I might be planting seeds. And today in our gospel lesson, we hear this story that Jesus tells about seed planting. And he talks about this farmer that goes out and plants this seed. And some of the seed goes everywhere, and a lot of it doesn't even grow. But then, surprisingly, the seed that falls in good places, the seed that falls in certain places grows, and it grows, and it grows bigger. And it's just amazing at what happens. Now, who here has planted a seed before? Has anybody planted a seed? What did you have to do to make it grow? What did you do? You watered it. What else did you do? Yep, maybe put it in the sun. Anything else? Yes. So you never saw what happened, because she said she went to camp and planted a seed 1 week, but then never got to see the full growth. And you know, sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes we go and plant seeds, and we don't get to see what happens for a long time. But Jesus says that the seed is sort of like the word of God's kingdom planted in our heart. It's about the love and grace of God growing in our hearts and in our community as we come to love God and then love one another. And so sometimes we don't see those seeds grow right away. But the promise is that if we accept God's love and grace and we nurture it in our lives and others, that there will be an amazing result from that. And there's no telling what God will do among us. So if you would, will you join me in prayer? All right. Dear Lord, we are so grateful that you sow seeds of grace and love all around us. Lord, help us be those who tend to the seeds. Help us be those that learn to walk in your grace and love. And Lord, guide us all, these children gathered here and all of us, to be sowers and doers of your goodness. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Now, over the next several weeks, we are going to be hearing from some of the parables as they are found in Matthew's gospel. Now, in fact, all of these parables are found in just the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, and they're found in this part right in the heart of the gospel that's called the parable discourses. And that simply means that it's this section of stories right in the middle of Matthew where Jesus begins to tell stories that give glimpses of what it means to live in the presence of God and what it looks like to live under the reign of God. And so these stories come at the peak of Jesus' ministry after he has been challenged for some of the unconventional ways in which he has been healing and tending to those who are sick, those mired in poverty, and those on the margins. And so he begins to tell these stories because he is hoping that people might better understand what it means to be in the kingdom of God and what this is all about. Now, of all of the different stories and types of literature that are found in the Bible, I think that the parables are among some people's most favorite parts of the New Testament. It was just this past Friday that I happened to be on the third floor in my office, and I was walking down the hallway to grab something off the printer. And across the way, I saw in the room, there were the volunteers that come up here every Friday to stuff the bulletins and get them ready for Sunday mornings. And I stopped in to say hello, and we started talking, and they asked me, what are you going to be preaching on this week? And I said, well, actually, we're going to be hearing from parables for the next 3 weeks. And one of the volunteers immediately said, oh, good, I just love the parables. And as we talked more and more, it became apparent that we shared a common love for the parables, that they held a special place in our hearts. And you know, why not? Because a good parable has everything that really captivates us as a listener or a reader. They contain vivid imagery and unexpected occurrences. There's mystery, there's wonder, and even sometimes there's confusion when it comes to the parables. But I think most importantly, the parables are supposed to catch us off guard. They are intended to challenge the preconceived ways that we may think that things are. They invite us to imagine new ways of being and doing in the presence of God. Now, of course, this is also the trouble with parables, though. If we are so familiar with them and if we really like them, then sometimes that keeps us from being able to hear them in the way that they were intended to be heard. They fail to surprise us anymore, and we think we already know exactly what it is that they mean. So over the next several weeks, whether you are hearing them for the first time or if this is your 100th time, I want to invite you to try to get lost in their mysterious imagery and in these surprising outcomes. Because see what new things they might awaken in your heart and mind as you hear them. And maybe, just maybe, your holy imagination will be awakened. Now, I think one way for us to do this is to try to simply think about the way the parables might have been heard the first time they were told. Now, it's really impossible to do that, but we can imagine. So I want you to imagine with me for a minute. I want you to imagine that you are there on the shore of the sea, and you are looking up into the boat, and you are trying to hear and listen to this teacher and preacher and healer that has caused such a stir in the community. Now, perhaps you've come purely out of curiosity. You just want to catch a glimpse of this guy. Or maybe, just maybe, you've heard of his care for the sick and the poor, for those who are on the margins and seeking some sort of guidance. And so you're there to hear some message of healing or hope. But whatever the reason, you wait there, and you wait there expecting to hear something really profound. And then what does he do? But he launches into this simple story. And he begins to tell a story about a farmer. And he says that there was this farmer out sowing seeds, and as this farmer was going about his business, that seeds were spilling everywhere. And so some of the seeds fell on paths that were exposed so that birds could come in and steal the seeds. And some of the seeds fell on shallow, rocky soil where they began to grow, but then they perished. And then still other seeds were falling amongst vines and other weeds that were choking out this seed's growth. And so as you stand there listening to this story for the very first time, having never heard it, you know what the first thing that probably goes through your mind is? This is a really terrible farmer. Because you know a thing or two about farming. You live in a place, and you live in a time where the planting of seeds and the harvesting of crops is crucial to your livelihood and your survival. So it's important to get a good yield. And to you, you already hear that this is going to be a story that probably doesn't turn out too well. This is a story of lost opportunity. It's one of disappointment and maybe even of starvation, perhaps even death. But one thing you know for sure, that it's not going to be a good outcome. And then just as you've come to that conclusion, Jesus continues and says that some seed fell on the good soil. And you think, well, that's at least a positive step, but with all that wasted seed, surely there will not be a good crop. But then Jesus proceeds to go on and he says, you know, and then that farmer's seed yielded 30 to 1 and 60 to 1, 100-fold in some spots of crops. And then that's when you think to yourself, "Ah, come on, Jesus. That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. Everyone knows that a good crop would be tenfold, and an excellent crop would be something like 15-fold. And I'm supposed to believe that this terrible, awful farmer who dropped seeds all over the place received that kind of return? Give me a break." Now, I liken this experience, or I imagine anyway, that the experience might be something like when we're watching a movie today and something so incredibly unbelievable happens that you just can't even focus on what's going on anymore. I think about this, one scene that does this for me is the classic Superman movie from the 70s with Christopher Reeves. And if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It's the scene at the end where he finds out that his love, Lois Lane, has been killed in a rock slide. So Superman, after he sees this, he's devastated because he feels like he could have saved her. And so what does he do? He flies up into outer space, and he begins to circle the globe as fast as he can. Do you remember this? And as he flies faster and faster, he's going opposite direction of the rotation of the Earth. And so the Earth starts to rotate backwards. And then what happens, of course, but time goes backwards. And then he's able to swoop down and save Lois Lane. And it's at about that moment, every time I watch it, that I think, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So unrealistic. And I know I'm saying that in the midst of a movie about a man flying around in red underwear. Nevertheless, it's almost too much for me to take. But then at that moment when Superman comes back down and sees Lois Lane alive, and a smile shows up on his face, I realize that that movie is not trying to tell me a story about the science of time and space. It's trying to tell me about the truth of love. And it's a story about the depth of love and the lengths that someone might go to for someone they care about. And so then I'm right back with the movie again. So I think that's how it was for the hearers of the parable this first time, that maybe it seemed absolutely ridiculous. But then as they had time to let it sink in and processed it a bit, they maybe started to think, there's something more to this tale, and what could Jesus be trying to tell us about the presence and power of God through such a story? I think if I had been standing in that crowd, the first thing that would have stood out to me would have simply been that unbelievable yield, that harvest. What I expected to be a story of disappointment and death turns out to be a story of abundant hope and life. So my first thought would have been that this is a story about possibility, about what can happen. To live in the presence of God, maybe, has something to do with living in a state of possibility. There's a sense that life can be found against all odds. And there's a sense that hope can be found when it seems as if there is no hope. That even a good crop might come from what seems to be poor planting. So then I might start to reevaluate the story a bit, and I think to myself, well, gosh, this story struck me as a story about a terrible sower. But the more I think about it, and even though I'm not still sure about how all of this works with dropping that seed everywhere, there's something special about the hope with which this sower plants. There's something good about that. You know, but according to the Gospel of Matthew, the disciples weren't content to just let the story lie there like that. Now, it's important to remember that Jesus never explained the story to the crowds. And I wonder if that's partly because he wanted the people just to sit with them. But to explain such stories might dull the ability to think about and ponder the possibilities. But nevertheless, Matthew tells us that the apostles wanted an explanation as they were wont to do. And I think that that's sort of human nature, that we want to understand something that seems mysterious. And so Jesus explains that the seeds are like the word of the kingdom of God. And he says that this is a tale about how that word is received. So this explanation has been preached on many, many times. and has led to many sermons and talks and Bible studies that all ask us to consider whether we as individuals are receptive to God's love and whether we are growing in God's grace. It sort of begs us to think about the state of our own soil, if you will. And that's all well and good, but sometimes I think we can be problematic in the ways that we talk about that. For one thing, it makes it sound like if bearing good fruit is all up to us and it's something that we do by our own efforts. And also it makes it sound as if the goal of a life alongside God is all about growing in some kind of solitary faith. So the downside of this kind of explanation for me is that it conjures up a picture, and the field I imagine looks like this. I picture a vast, desolate field full of rocky paths and rocky soil, vines and weedy overgrowth, with just isolated pockets of abundant harvest, abundant crops growing. It's as if the seeds growing in the good soil have nothing to do at all with the places where the seed languishes. But you know, this doesn't seem the same story. It doesn't point to the same abundance and possibility that I think the parable is trying to get us to notice. So I found myself wondering this week, okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? And I thought, well, maybe when Jesus says, listen and hear, he's saying, pay attention, not only to yourself, but pay attention to the fact that this goodness is spread all around, just waiting to be nurtured. God's love and grace is everywhere, and maybe you have a role in tending the fields. And that's when I thought about when I was a kid. And I used to go to my paternal grandparents' house. Now, my grandparents were raised right here in Middle Tennessee, but they were raised in rural parts of the state on farms, and they always had a love of the land. Now, by the time I was born, they were living in Hendersonville on a property out by the lake. They still had a lot of land, and they loved to plant things out there. And so in the front yard, my grandmother had a spacious rock garden. And in the backyard, they would plant all sorts of fruits and vegetables, and my grandfather even had fruit trees. And as I considered this story of the seed only growing when it falls on good soil, I thought to myself that my grandparents knew how to grow seeds in all sorts of places. My grandmother, she knew which plants would do well with sun and which needed shade. She knew what plants might grow amongst the rocks and which might need to be in open areas. And my grandfather, he knew how to tend the soil around the fruits and vegetables that he grew. And he also knew how to protect them from pests. He'd cover the trees to keep the birds from swooping in and taking all the fruit. And as this image popped into my mind, I thought, is this really what Jesus wants us to pay attention to? That it's only the first step that this crop is growing abundantly in certain places? The real promise is that everything and everywhere is seeded and waiting simply for us to come alongside the work of God that God has already started. And if this seed is indeed a word, then it's a living word. It's the life of healing and wholeness that Jesus lived out and invites us to live in together. And so we're not just tending our soil, but we're tending the fields together. And I caught a little glimpse of this last Sunday morning when I met with the leaders of the West End Covenant Discipleship groups. And they were talking about how they come together in small groups and they create covenants with one another. And they agree to read scripture with each other and to participate in discussions together. They pray for one another. And they commit to go out and do works of mercy and justice. And they hold each other accountable in that work. It's not work that is done alone. Because they grow in God's grace, and fruit is produced, and they also help one another in this life of faith. And then The bounty continues. The work of their groups goes out into the community and continues to grow. So I heard how they had cared for one another in times of sorrow and need, and had helped each other find hopes and trust each other in their faith journeys. I heard how they had been drawn into all manners of service and volunteer work and ministries throughout the city and even the world. Yes, these folks are tending the fields together. And I think that's a beautiful vision of life lived under the reign of God. So I hope as I get to know you over the next year, and as I take on my role here as the pastor of spiritual formation, that together we can tend the seeds of God's loving grace that have already been planted here in the hearts of the people of West End United Methodist Church. And I hope we can also together tend to the seeds that are planted all around us in this community, especially where they may be struggling to flourish. And I hope we can live out the word that calls us not only to grow in faith, but to seek out the abundant life and hope and joy found in the goodness of the God that we know in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And now, if you would, turn in your hymnals to page number 883. As we join our voices together and stand to proclaim our faith in this affirmation of faith, let us read together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today, and if you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad that you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They will be stationed both in Reed Hall and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after our worship service. They can be identified by their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer request there, indicating if they are to be shared or are to be kept confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. We also invite you to record your attendance with us this morning by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service and share with them Christ's peace. Today we offer our sympathy to the family of Mindy Boyce, who are mourning the death of her grandmother, Mary Hendricks Glenn, who died July 2nd in College Grove, Tennessee. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, merciful and just, O God, kind and compassionate, O God, forever faithful for your own name's sake, we pray for the world Christ came to save. We pray for the kingdom you are bringing through Christ. Bless the church, the body of Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that our strength is renewed like the eagles, and then send us out to proclaim the good news that in Jesus Christ there is newness of life. We pray for all who are weary from hard labor, especially for those who are not fairly paid, for those who work in dangerous places, for those trapped in slavery. Break the yokes of oppression and bonds of bitterness. We pray for all who serve on behalf of others, especially for those who care for the sick, elderly, and dying, for those who fight fires, enforce just laws, and serve in the military, for those who hold public office, build up all people in peace and freedom. We pray for ourselves that we will be faithful, especially in times of temptation, that our diseases will be healed so we have strength to serve others, and that our love for one another and you grow ever deeper. Make us into a holy temple in the Lord. Build us spiritually into a dwelling place for God, into your kingdom. And now, with the assurance that God's kingdom will come, let us pray in one voice the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let the giving of God's tithes and our offerings be a tangible way of bearing witness to the good news of the gospel.
Got moved after the wedding, so, well, while we're waiting, here they come. All right, great.
Thank you.
forth knowing that you live in the presence of the good sower, that goodness and grace that we know in God is present all around us, and go seeking to be a part of the work of God in your life and in the lives of others. Thanks be to God for that glorious gift. Amen.